Your Bibles with us. If you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. We'll be in the Peter's first epistle here. We'll be in chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 13. 1 Peter 1, 13. First Peter chapter 1, 13. The Lord tells us, He says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when He is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as He who called you is holy, be yourselves holy in all your conduct. For it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of ages for your sake. Through Him you have come to trust in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have a genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all is like grass, all flesh is like grass, and all glory like a flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is good news that was announced to you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Lord, that no matter what, we have you. That our flesh is fading away, Lord, just like the grass and the blooms wither away with due time, Lord. We too are withering away. But your word stands forever, Lord. And though we wither and fade away, we know that we have an inheritance, Lord, with you. That our soul shall depart to be with you for all eternity in the new Jerusalem, Lord. We thank you, Father God. Help us to heed your word every day and live according to it by your Holy Spirit through holiness. Help us, Lord, through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. We come here to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." When we see this "therefore," we need to look up and see what he's talking about beforehand. So we go to verse 3 and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We've been born again into the family of God. Born again. Blessed be God and Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. That's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says here in verse 3, "By His great mercies," by mercy. Mercy rewrote our lives into something new. It's not falling away. That's not wicked. It's not full of sin. "By His great mercy, He has given us new birth. Except a person is born again, they shall not see God. They shall not be in the kingdom of God." But we're born again into God's family as His children. He has given us new birth into not a dead hope, not a hopeless, but He says a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope. It's alive. Jesus is alive. And we need to be living for Him. He says here, it's a living hope through His resurrection. He didn't just die for us. If it ended at the cross, that's not enough. But He rose again for us, that we can be buried with Him and risen to walk in newness of life. Our old ways are crucified on the cross with Him, and we are risen up when we're born again. He says here, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Personally, he says here, kept in heaven for you. That's our inheritance. Holiness is our inheritance. Holiness benefits His house, it says in the Word of God in the Psalms. He says, kept in heaven for you. This inheritance is imperishable. It's not passing away. Heaven and earth will pass away, the Bible says, but my word never will. God's word shall never pass away. It's undefiled, he says. It's not wicked. It don't have no sin nor guile in it. It's unfading. It's not fading away. It's kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by the power of God. How is that? Through faith, he says here. We're protected by the power of God. Through faith, we're saved, we're sustained, we're sanctified. It's all through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our works are a result of our faith and love toward God. He says here, this salvation is ready to be revealed at the last time. He says here, therefore, in verse 13, if this is our salvation by faith, is this our wonderful inheritance in heaven, the wonderful thing God has done for us, therefore, he says, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about what God has done for us? Therefore, he says, prepare your minds for action. Get ready for action, he says. Discipline yourselves. So when we read here, prepare your minds for action, this reminds me of a verse we're going to go to, as is printed in your bulletin, from 2 Corinthians 10. And we'll be right back there in 1 Peter. But we're going to run over here to 2 Corinthians 10. And I'm preaching to you from the New Revised Standard Version. But when we go over here to Corinthians, we're going to go to the King James, because I love how it renders this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. If we're going to be preparing our minds for action, we're going to be preparing ourselves for action, we need to remember what the warfare is in our lives. What is the spiritual warfare? We have this wonderful blessing, this living hope in Jesus. And what are we going to do about it? He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So we're in flesh bodies right here. We're not warring after the flesh. Elsewhere it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember that. It's against principalities of darkness. That's the spiritual battle. He says here in verse 4, what are our weapons? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're not carnal. I can't pull out a pistol and say I'm going to fight the evil spirits around me. It ain't going to work. Neither one knife or anything else, but the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's how we fight our battles. These wonderful things. Faith like this cometh not but by prayer and fasting, Jesus tells us. That's how we fight our spiritual battles. He says here, the weapons of our warfare. What's our weapons? Are you defenseless and letting the devil do as he pleases? Or are you taking up the sword of the Spirit and the armor of God? He says here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, only through him, to the pulling down of strongholds. God wants strongholds out of our lives. It's a spiritual battle. He wants these things out of our lives. Has the devil been building a castle in your heart? God wants to pull that stronghold down by the blood of Jesus. He says here, verse 5, notice here, casting down imaginations. Verse 13 of 1 Peter, therefore prepare your minds for action. We need to be careful what we center our minds on. Is our minds holy? If we're centering our mind on the living hope of Jesus Christ, centering our hearts on the living hope, our souls and spirits, everything on the living hope. Verse 5, it says we should be casting down imaginations. Oh, careful what you think about. Careful what you entertain, because what you entertain will become your actions someday. What your actions are will determine your eternal destiny, because it's flowing right out of the heart. He says they're casting down imaginations. He wants to cast down the wicked imaginations. For sin can come out in our bodies, it first has to be in our mind. He says, cast these things down. Throw them out. Just as Hebrews tells us, cast away the sin that doth so easily beset us. He says here, in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He says here, every high thing, everything that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God, what is sin in our lives? You know, you can have something that's good, that could be helpful in your life, that you could turn into a sin if you make it an idol. If you're not careful, you can turn something that God has blessed you with into an idol. He says here, every high thing, if it's higher in your life than Jesus, it's an idol. It needs to be cast down. It needs to be thrown away. So remember our living hope that we just read about. It's not a dead hope. Money can't buy my salvation, can't buy yours. Nothing can. Except the blood of Jesus. We're bought with a price. That price is the blood of Jesus. He says here, we need to be cast down every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, against God's Word. That's what determines sin, is God's Word. Not the philosophical games of man. No, it's by the Word of God, nothing else. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Take every thought captive, everything. He's being in accordance with the Word of God. Help us, Father, to do that. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you want the disobedience out of your life? Seek God and His ways. They're higher than our ways. Seek holiness. We want to be obedient children. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments. It matters how we live our lives here. If we truly put our faith in God, it's going to reflect what's going on in our heart and minds will reflect with our actions. Lord, help us to be a reflection of your glory. He says here, prepare your minds for action. Get down these wicked imaginations. Get down this wickedness of the world out of our thoughts and minds. We need to fill our minds full of scriptures, filled full of the Word of God. We need to read and study and memorize the Word of God. It's amazing what we can memorize throughout the day, throughout work or whatever we're doing. It's amazing the things we memorize. People can rattle off all kinds of statistics, all kinds of different things of the whatnots of the world. That's fine and good, but we need to be able to rattle off with our heart and mind, straight from memory, the Word of God. It will help us. How's God going to call Scripture to memory when you need it in your life, when you're going through a hard time or you need to discern wisdom? How's He going to give you that if you haven't took the time to put it in your mind? When the devil's knocking at your door and fighting you, how can you not fight except by the sword of the Spirit? There's no other way to. He says, prepare your minds for action. We need to be prepared. Prepared for the wiles of the devil. Prepared for his coming towards you. He's going to be prowling about like a roaring lion. He already is. Are we prepared with the armor of God? Prepare your minds for action, he says. If we got this living hope, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If we've got that, we're saved by the grace of God. If we've got the living hope within us, then we need to be prepared for action. We need to discipline ourselves, he says. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring. He says, discipline yourselves. Be careful what we do. Be careful what we look at, what we entertain in our minds, what we speak. Be careful how we carry on our lives down here below. He says, discipline ourselves. Discipline our time. It's amazing. Time is such a precious entity we have. One of the most precious things we have. But yet it's the one of the things that we waste the most of is time. Discipline yourselves, he says. We need to be not wasting time, but giving time to the Lord and seeking his holy face. There's so many distractions, so many things competing for your time today. Give it to the Lord, 100%. Discipline yourselves, he says. The devil will give you all kinds of excuses to not read the Word of God. Oh, he's got a line of them. He's got a heap of them. Discipline yourselves, he says. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Set all your hope, not just some of it. I'm kind of halfway hoping. No, we need to all the way hope in the Lord. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring. He's going to bring us grace upon grace, he says. Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Oh, with that second coming, when he comes out of the eastern sky, time will be no more. We need to be prepared for that day. Set our hope, knowing that we will see him face to face one of these days. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. It don't have to be a fearful day. As God told the disobedient children of Israel, he told them, don't hope for the day of the Lord. It's going to be horrible for you because you don't know me. But for his children, it's going to be a wonderful day. It's when we'll see Jesus face to face. Are you living in obedience to him? Help us, Lord, to be obedient children. He says here, like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. And one time we was all in the ignorance of sin. Not always ignorant. We are ignorant of the holy things. We're living in sin, living in the wickedness, but we don't have to follow those anymore. He says, like obedient children, we're children of Almighty God, born again. Do not be conformed. Each and every one of us, every moment of every day is being conformed to something. We're being molded by something. Just as we got this clay and they mold it in these beautiful bowls and all this pottery and things. We are being molded to things. We choose what's molding us. The Bible says, thou art the potter, I'm the clay, as we sing in that hymn. If we're not careful, we're not letting God mold us. If we're living in sin and walking in the ways of the world, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But if you flip it around, you're walking in the flesh, you're not going to fulfill the truths of the Spirit. And you're not going to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the world's molding you. The world's got a mold it wants each and every one of us to be in. It's a very wicked mold. We need to be in God's mold. We need to allow him to shape us. Glorious thing is he's our Heavenly Father. He wants us to all to be conformed to him. But we're not all going to be conformed in the same manner sometimes. Sometimes a potter can build a bowl that looks like this. Sometimes they'll build a big old vase. We all have different things in the kingdom of God to do. We all have the gifts and calling of God without repentance. He gives us a gift to do. We're all to be holy. We're all to be set apart. We're all to be of the same mind, same accord with the Holy Ghost. But we all have something different in the kingdom of God to do. We all have a calling upon God. but be conformed to him and follow his ways like obedient children. Let's be obedient. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If we're not obedient, we'll receive the chastising rod of the Lord. Those he loves, he rebukes and chastens. He's trying to call us back to him. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. He don't want us going back to the desires that we formerly had. He don't want us going back in the old muddy ditch of sin. He wants us walking on the golden streets of glory. He says here that you do not be conformed to the desires. Careful. The Bible says that you trust in the Lord. He can give you the desires of your heart. He don't want us to give us desires of the heart of wicked hearts, but he wants our hearts renewed by his grace and Holy Ghost, that our desires may be as he, holy in truth. John Wesley once said, I measure everything, by the price it shall gain me in eternity. What a wonderful way to look at that. What's this going to do eternally for me? Is it making me more holy? Is it sanctifying me? Or is it pulling me away from the Lord? That's something we have to choose every day. What are we being conformed to? Sanctification or falling away? He says here, you formerly had those in ignorance. Instead, in verse 15, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Lord, help us. Be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Not some of it, not halfway. Be holy yourselves, because God's holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. Before the throne room, what they said in Revelation, holy, holy, holy. Instead, he who called you is holy. Heavenly Father's holy. You know, there ought to be some family resemblance. Is he my Heavenly Father? Is he yours? Then there needs to be some family resemblance among us. We're created in the image of God. He's holy. We need to be holy ourselves in all your conduct. We want to be like him. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's God's will for your life. Everybody, sometimes people wonder, what's the will of God for me? What's the will of God for me? That's first and foremost, start here. For everybody, every child of God, he wants us to be holy, for he is holy. How do we do that? We have the word of God. The Spirit of God will teach us. Christ will teach us his ways. He has a comforter. He'll teach you all things, the Bible tells us. Study to shew thyself approved unto God. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Over and over again, God tells us through the word of God that this is the word of God. To be holy is to obey God's word out of a deep respect and love for God. Not out of legalism and checking a list off. No, why do we seek what God loves and seek to hate what God hates? It's out of love for him. If we love Heavenly Father, we're going to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We want to love what he loves and hate what he hates because we love him. He says here in verse 17, if you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, are we invoking him as Heavenly Father? It's a wonderful blessing. I love to read that psalm as we just read. I mean, glory to God, the things he says here. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Talking about the things God knows, it's far beyond our comprehension. For it was you who formed my inward parts. Think about how intricate the human body is. All these organs and everything that keep us alive, that God sustains us. He says here, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. God knit us together. He knows us. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighted to me are your thoughts. God's thoughts are glorious. The God Almighty that created heaven and earth, he thinks enough about us to allow us to have this living hope through Jesus Christ, who created heaven and earth. He created all things. Why wouldn't we trust him? But he says here, if you're going to call him your Heavenly Father, if you invoke his Father, the one who judges all people impartially. The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care how much money you got. He doesn't care how holy your mom and daddy may used to be. That doesn't affect your eternal salvation. When it comes to judgment day, it'll affect your children, how you raise them. Don't get me wrong on that. You need to raise your children up in the ways of God. But at the end of the day, we all have the choice to make individually. We can't say, well, my granddaddy was a holy man, so I guess I'll just inherit the holiness. It don't work that way. People impartially, according to their deeds, on judgment day, sheep and the goats will be parted around to the right and to the left. To the sheep, he'll say, enter into rest. faithful in few, you're faithful in many. He'll bless us, and it'll be a wonderful day. One's on his left. Them old goats, he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They never cared about holiness. They never cared about the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. They never cared about what God loves and what God hates. Therefore, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's a sad thing. We don't want to hear that on Judgment Day. Heavenly Father, so it says here, if you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, what are our deeds? A reflection of our eternal state. If we're right with God, if we're loving Him, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're living in the Spirit, then the rest will take care of itself. But if we're living in the flesh, the rest too will take care of itself. Choose, what are we going to do? It's two ways. There's no other option. It's either seeking the Lord and His holiness, or it's falling away from Him. There's no middle ground, the Bible tells us. He says here, those who judge all people impartially according to their deeds live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. We need to be reverent because we have a holy God. Reverent before Him. Reverent before His holy throne of grace. We're reading the Old Testament about God shows how much He wanted the children of Israel to be reverent before Him. Reverence. Why is that? Not out of reverent fear as in looking up afraid that God's going to strike us with lightning because He hates us. No. Reverent fear out of love for Him and His holiness and His truth. God loves you. He loves me. Live in reverent fear during your time of exile. Reverence for the glory of God. It's a sad thing. Hear the name of Jesus Christ, the name of God Almighty. It's just blasphemed so much. We see God's mercy. I hear so much blasphemy all through the world. It's so sad and terrible. In the Old Testament days, we read where if someone said that, God struck them with lightning and killed them. He struck them down, they died. We see nowadays how God is so merciful through Jesus Christ that He relents His wrath. That He says, come unto me, lost child. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He wants them. He wants all to come to Him because He's such a faithful and loving God. That's what He told us in Exodus. He told us that He's loving and merciful unto all generations. Riven reverent fear, we need to remember, but we don't need to take the love of God and the grace and mercy of God and use it as an excuse for sin. We never need to use it as an excuse to live in wickedness. Live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. We're exiled here below. This isn't our permanent home. This place is being burned up one of these days, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But live in reverent fear for God. Let's look at who He is, His character, His love, His mercy, but also His holiness and His justice. We need to stand in awe of who He is. Reverence, fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways. Notice there He says futile ways. They're worthless ways inherited from your ancestors. We were ransomed from that. We're set free from that. Set free from the wicked ways, from the sin that was passed down generation to generation. We're ransomed from that, He says. They're futile. They're worthless. They're no count. Inherited from your ancestors. How is this? Not with perishable things like silver, gold. All the gold in Fort Knox couldn't buy our salvation. Nothing's good enough except the blood of Jesus. He says here, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Our sin did something to Jesus. It made Him die on the cross. We have this wonderful cross. Praise God, He didn't stay that way. We have this beautiful stained glass window of Him resurrecting to heaven. On the third day, He rose again, as we'll celebrate here in a couple weeks. Glory to God, He didn't stay dead, but we were bought with a price, with the precious blood of Christ. Like a lamb, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was perfect. He did nothing wrong. No guile, no sin in His mouth. No wicked thoughts, no sin. He was in every way tempted, yet found without sin. And He died for us. He shed His precious blood for us out of love. We need to have reverent fear for that. We need to be remembering that we are bought with a price. His body ain't mine. Yours isn't yours. We're bought with a price. When we're redeemed, we need to be all God's 100% because He bought us with the blood of Jesus. He set us free from the futile ways of the flesh that was inherited from our ancestors way on back, all the way back to Adam. Not only that, not only the sin nature that we inherit, but we're sinners by choice. We choose to turn away from God. We chose to turn toward the muck and the wickedness of the world. But thanks be to God, He didn't leave us there. He set us free with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Without a lamb, without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of ages. For your sake, why did God do all this? He doesn't need us. It's for our sake, because He loves us. God doesn't need us for anything, but yet He loves us anyways. We're not just puppet strings. We're His children, born again in His family. He loves us so dearly. So dearly. What did God gain? He gave so much through Jesus Christ. He was destined before the foundation of the world. God set this plan in motion. It's amazing how it worked together. It's amazing we have this book to tell us from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. We read all about God's wonderful plan. As with Abraham, when they were walking up there for the sacrifice, they wondered where it was. Where's the lamb? They said, God will provide a lamb. Praise God, He provided a lamb for us. That was Jesus, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Matthew tells us that Jesus' whole purpose of coming was to die and redeem His people from their sins. He was going to redeem us, forgive us, set us free from our sins. He says here, He was destined for the foundation of the world. Jesus wasn't a created being. He was eternally begotten of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the three always was. He was destined before the foundation of the world. It was revealed at the end of ages for your sake. Through Him, Him alone, you have come to trust in God. It's only through Him that we can trust in God. Let's live in reverent fear of that. Let's live, be humble, not arrogant. God resisteth the proud, the Bible says, but He giveth grace unto the humble. If we're going to be proud about what we've done, what have I done? We can go look in an old mop bucket and see a bunch of filthy rags. Without Jesus, that's all the best, finest work we can do. The Bible says they're filthy rags. But with Jesus, we can walk in the Spirit and it bears fruit of the Holy Ghost. He says here, through Him alone are we saved. Through Him alone are we sanctified. And Lord, help us to be perfected in grace. Through Him you have come to trust in God. Trust in God. That's where it all starts. That's where it all finishes. Do you trust Heavenly Father? Do you trust Him with your life? Do you trust Him with your soul? Do you trust Him with everything in your life? We can say your home, your house, everything, your job, your finances. We can go all down the list. Everything in your life. Do you trust Him? Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust Heavenly Father? Through Him you have come to trust in God. Through Him we trust Him. Is there truly trust there? There's a lot of fear. The devil wants you to be scared in this world. He wants you to live in fear. Or are you going to trust Him? It's a choice we have to make every day. What are we going to trust? Are we going to trust the devil? He offered Jesus the world. Well, Jesus was the one that created the world. He's just a lying being. Father of lies, Jesus says. He'll promise you things He can't deliver. The only thing that His promises give you is an eternity in hell. That's not what God wants us, but His promises gives us an eternity in heaven. With Him in the new Jerusalem, where there's no darkness nor light nor sin nor wickedness. Through Him you have come to trust in God, who raises Him from the dead. That's who raised Him from the dead. By the power of the Holy Ghost, raised Him from the dead. That same power that lived in Him lives in us when we're saved. The Holy Ghost resides in us, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory. Praise God. So that your faith and hope are set on God. He gave Him glory. So that your faith and hope are set on God. He gave Him glory, lift Him up, so we too could be lifted up, that we too could live for Him. We don't have to be bound. When Jesus sets you free by His blood, He breaks the bounds of sin, those chains that had a shackle, just like that old man that was bound by chains. He was possessed by a demon, Jesus tells us in the Gospels. He was possessed by it, and God set him free. The man couldn't even live in town. He lived in the graves and the crypts, but Jesus set him free. He'll set us all free. We was no better off than that man, but praise God. We'll see Him someday in heaven. We're saved by the grace of God. He sets us free, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. What is your faith? People sometimes say they have no faith. They've got faith in something. Atheists have to have a faith in something. Everybody has faith in something. It may be yourself. It may be the devil himself or your riches or something. Your faith is in something. So your faith and hope are set on God. Your hope's in something too. Everybody has faith and hope in something. It just may be in the wrong thing. Is your faith and hope set on God today? Are you walking in faith? Are you walking in the ways of God? your faith and hope are set on God. Who is God? He's our Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us all about Him. If you want to know about who He is and what He says, He is who He says He is, not who we say. He tells us in His Word who He is. Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. We want to heed this call to our living hope of holiness. We need to see who God says He is in His Word every day, so that your faith and hope are set on God. It needs to be set on God, nobody else. Anybody else, remember as we just prayed this morning in our call to worship verse, see if there is any idolatrous way in me, or as King James says, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search us, O God, search us out. He'll search us out. He's promised, He said, I'll search Jerusalem out with candles. Did your faith and hope are set on God? Where's your faith and hope at? We have this living hope. Is your faith and hope set on Him? Our life should be reflecting it in holiness. Set apart for Him. Help us, Lord. In verse 22, now you have been purified, your souls, by your obedience to the truth. What happens with the gold to get it pure, to make rings and make jewelry and the whatnot with it? It's got to be refined. It's got to be made pure. We need to be made pure. Now that you have purified your souls. Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's not saying, work for your salvation with fear and trembling. He says, work it out. He says, get on God. Get with God. Get on your knees. Seek God's face. Get in the Word of God. Work it out. Set your ways on Him. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience. The more we obey God, the more we'll love Him. Because the more we can be like Him, the more obedient children we are, the more we love Him. The more we can know Him. God wants to fill our cup of the Holy Ghost. But if we're staying way over there away from Him, He can't fill it up. We're going to be running dry parched. But if we're close to Him, our cup can runneth over. He says here, you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. How is your soul this morning? Is it living a pure life? Or is it something different? Since you have genuine, not fake, not of the world. The world, He says, genuine mutual love. Oh, the world, they love to use the word love all the time, don't they? As we say here. Use it for different things. The world says love, but they really mean lust. Lusting towards other people. Lusting for the ways of the flesh. Lusting towards all the things of this world. When God says that you have genuine mutual love, He wants us full of love. The love of God. For God is love, 1 John tells us. If you don't have love in you, you're not of God, for God's love. If you can look at someone and hate them, you don't have God's love in you. How can you see the love of God whom you have not seen when you look at someone that you can see and don't love? And that's what 1 John tells us. God is love, so that you have genuine mutual love. He wants to purify our souls by obedience to the truth, so that we may have genuine mutual love for God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That whole thing, the whole law and the prophets hangs on that. Loving God with everything we've got. And loving our neighbor as ourself. That's holiness right there, brothers and sisters. He says here, love one another deeply from the heart. Out of the heart floweth the issues of life, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament. Out of the heart floweth the issues of life. How's your heart this morning? You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, not of the seed of the world, but born anew as children of God, His holy children, through the living and enduring Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and we have the written Word to guide us and show us the way. I'm the living Word, Jesus, to redeem us and guide us. He says here, for all flesh is like grass, all of it, and all of its glory like the flower of grass. We see beautiful. I love to look at the beautiful fields and walk in them, and they'll have the. I like to see thistles. They're not good for hay, but it's beautiful to see them sometimes. And we see all the beautiful flowers of the field. He says, all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. Notice here, it's all like grass. All our flesh is just like grass. And the glory of it is a little flower sticking up. That's as best as it gets. The grass withers, and the flower falls. They won't be there forever. Sometimes they don't even last months. But the word of the Lord endures forever. All our fleshliness, the ways of the world, it's like this grass we look. And the glorious, the best of it, is like the flowers in it that don't last longer. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word is the good news that was announced to you. This is the word of God, the gospel of the Lord, the good news. This is good news. Jesus saved us. We have a living hope. We've got hope. We don't have to put our hope in us or the devil or the ways of the world or riches. We don't have to put our hope in these empty things, but we can put hope in Jesus Christ. And if we truly have our hope, He's calling us to a holy calling. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope. His hope lasts forever. His hope is for all eternity, and we're called to live in this hope. If we're living in this hope, we're going to be obedient children. Therefore, it says, prepare your minds for action. Prepare for action. If we're truly believing in this living hope, if our faith and hope are set on God and God alone, then we have a lot to do, don't we, brothers and sisters? We got to be walking in the Spirit. Never forget to live in reverent fear. The glory of this world is just like this grass. It's getting ready to start mowing around here. That's what reminds me of the grass. It's just mowed over. It's nothing. That's this world. Without Jesus, it's nothing. But with Him, we have eternal hope. That word is good news that was announced to you. Now, don't we, as God's children, have a story to tell into the nations, as the hymn says? We got a lot to do. Why do we do it? Why do we live for the Lord? It's out of love for Him. And this reverent fear is out of love and love alone. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you. Is your hope set on things, as the hymn says, build your hope on things eternal? Or is it set on things of this world? Where's your faith at? If you've got the living hope of Jesus Christ, are you living in this living hope? Are you living as a free person? Set free, not chained by the bondage of sin and shackled by the ways of the world, but set free to live in this living hope. Set free by faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Set free to live a holy life unto Him. Holiness is not a bondage. It's not a legalistic bondage, but it is a wonderful gift that we can do to live for God. It's a product of this living hope. Take a moment and pray to the Lord and listen. There's something between you and the Lord that's not holy. Take it to His throne of grace, and He'll wipe it clean by the blood of Jesus. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thank you, Father. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be gathered here together in your house, Lord. Help us to live in this reverent love and fear, knowing that one of these days you're coming back for us, Lord. But Lord, we're not waiting till then to live for you. We're not waiting till then to set our eyes and our faith on you. But Lord, we can live in faith and hope right now. Help us all to do this, Lord. Take this living hope to those around us, wherever we may go, Lord. Knowing that you're with us to guide us and show us the way, and that the power of the Holy Ghost is never going away, Lord. We thank you, Father. Fill us with that. Through holiness, and we may be a holy people, royal priesthood set apart for you. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to be here with you in the Lord's house. Let's all stand. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.